Today's Global IQ with Jim Falk is with Her Excellency Bayan Semi Abdulrahman. She is the Kurdistan Regional Government Representative to the United States. Prior to arriving in Washington, D.C., she had an extensive career in journalism, including reporting from Japan as Tokyo correspondent for the Financial Times, and most recently was the Kurdistan's Regional Government's High Representative to the United Kingdom. Welcome.
Thank you.
Could you outline the goals and mission of your office as well as your position?
I'm the representative of the Kurdistan Regional Government, so if Kurdistan were a sovereign state, I would be the ambassador. So my mission is very similar to what an ambassador does, which is to represent their government, to promote the messages and the policies of their government, which is what I do, and also, in my case, to raise awareness of Kurdistan. I think there are many Americans that either don't know Kurdistan or maybe not very clear on who we are or where we are. Today, the focus of our work is, of course, on the security and the humanitarian situation in Kurdistan. The United States is, of course, supporting us in our fight against ISIS, and we're very grateful to that. Also, the United States is the biggest donor to the UN in Iraq for the humanitarian crisis. So those are the two immediate issues that we work on. But beyond that, we very much want to have a broader relationship with the United States, and we're trying to promote business, we're trying to promote cultural exchanges, university programs, and so on.
How extensive is the Kurdistan Regional Government's network of representative offices around the world?
We have 14 offices, mostly in Europe. This is the only one in North America. We also have Moscow and Tehran.
Now, you mentioned U.S. aid, and I guess you could really look at it being divided into two components, military assistance as well as humanitarian. How much aid has the United States pledged in the humanitarian sector?
I believe the aid goes to Iraq, to the UN for Iraq, so we don't know specifically how much goes to Kurdistan. But I believe the United States has contributed over $400 million in all to helping the UN in Iraq. It's a vast amount, but unfortunately it's just not enough. The scale of the humanitarian crisis is just beyond our imagination, beyond our capability.
Let me ask you this, and I wish it weren't the case, but sometimes the United States pledges aid, as do other countries, and it's not always paid. Are we current?
As far as I'm aware, the U.S. is current. I would say that, you know, if I were to fault anybody on this, it would actually be the Gulf states, the rich Arab Gulf states. Saudi Arabia last year donated $500 million to the UN in Iraq. I believe the Emirates has done a little bit this year, has done something. Also, Kuwait has pledged $200 million through the Red Cross. But, you know, this is our own backyard. They should be doing much more to take refugees, which they don't. They should be doing much more to help financially because, of course, you know, there are displaced people, but they affect all of us.
How many?
In Kurdistan region alone, our population is 5.5 million. We are taking care of 300,000 Syrian refugees and 1.5 million internally displaced Iraqis.
Are they pouring across your border every day? Or?
Last year we had 80,000 people a day arriving. The number is lower than that now, but every day people come to Kurdistan to take refuge. And many of those who've taken refuge in Kurdistan are from the minorities, Christians, Yazidis, Shabaks. And I think this is because in Kurdistan, where we have a very open society, we are a majority Muslim people, but we have always protected and promoted Christians. If I may give you an example, in our parliament, we have 111 seats. 11 seats of that total are designated to religious minorities. and ethnic minorities.
Your Excellency, a few years ago, Erbil was considered very safe. Hotels, lots of American businessmen were going there. How has the war against ISIS impacted your economy?
It has impacted the economy. It's expensive for everybody to be at war. The humanitarian burden is very expensive. Having a 30% increase in your population in 1 year puts enormous pressure on water, electricity, education, healthcare. But also the oil price has caused a great shock to our economy. But, you know, we're resilient, we're continuing. Civil servant and Peshmerga salaries are on average 3 months behind, but on the whole, people are managing to continue.
The Peshmerga have been very active in the battle against ISIS. And I came across an article that appeared just in Sunday's Washington Times talking about how the Kurdish armed forces, the military, were ill-equipped to fight terrorists who commandeered U.S. armored vehicles. I'm paraphrasing the headline. And it seems that the U.S. has been providing the arms, but it's been needing the approval of the Iraqi central government. Is that accurate?
It is accurate. The United States insists on sending weapons through Baghdad with the approval of Baghdad. We would prefer the weapons to come direct. We would not hide anything from Baghdad. There are ways of still checking what we receive. We believe this is another way for Baghdad to control what's going on. But, you know, our Peshmerga are fighting ISIS and are winning. We are the most effective force on the ground against ISIS, both in Iraq and also the Kurds in Syria are the most successful in Syria. And our Peshmerga do not have the weapons they need, the heavy weapons they need to ultimately destroy ISIS. We have retaken Kurdish territory from ISIS that they had taken. They're almost outside of all of Kurdistan now. But we're not able to continue that and to push them and destroy them because we simply lack the weapons to do that.
Well, when you lobby on Capitol Hill on this issue, what response do you get?
Actually, there's a great deal of sympathy and empathy in Capitol Hill. There are many, many senators and congressmen. I mean, Kay Granger, who's local here, she has been an enormous support to us, Senator John McCain. But also Democrats have been supportive of us. But the administration is not in favor of this. The administration has said that it is doing its best to streamline the delivery of weapons, so there are never any delays in Baghdad, and that is their solution to it.
Now, I heard yesterday that some of the armored vehicles that are arriving, they're armored, but they're lacking doors. Is that accurate?
I saw this report as well that the MRAPs, which are sort of mine-resistant vehicles, and they're crucial for us, because a very large number of the Peshmerga who have died, 1,300 have died in the past year in the fight against ISIS, a very large number of those Peshmerga died because of IEDs, mm-hmm. unexploded devices.
Right.
So these mine-resistant vehicles are crucial for us. And we have been, it turns out, receiving them without the armored plating.
It seems like that'd be a fairly serious weakness.
It seems so. I'm not a military person, so I don't want to go into that. But as I said, ultimately, we in Kurdistan are not getting the weapons that we need to destroy ISIS.
We have time for one more question. Let me ask you, what do you think of what is Vladimir Putin's strategy, and how is Russia's increased activity destabilizing the area?
It's very hard to read which way Russia's intervention will take us. On the one hand, it could be that Assad was coming under pressure, and so there's a recognition that they need to make a deal. So Russia has gone in to have a position of strength from which to negotiate. That's a possibility. The other possibility is that Russia wants to regain its foothold in the Middle East after losing it.
After 30 years.
Yes.
Right.
And that, you know, it's difficult for us because we are grateful to anybody who fights ISIS. ISIS poses an existential threat to the people of Kurdistan, to the people of Iraq and Syria and beyond. So anybody who joins all of us to fight ISIS, we're grateful. But what we're concerned about is that the way that Russia has come into this, and it seems that the United States is taken aback by this, we're concerned that that might damage the cooperation and coordination that there has been in the region, and that's what we all want to avoid. We want that cooperation and coordination to continue. And if Russia can be part of that, then we will all be stronger against ISIS, if that's what the intention is.
Well, I thank you very much for your participation, and we'll follow this with continued interest. You've been listening to Global IQ with Jim Falk. Our guest has been Her Excellency Bayan Semi Abdulrahman. To follow developments in the Kurdistan region, let me remind you to go to your website at www.krg.us. And of course, you can learn more about a World Affairs Council in your community by going to worldaffairscouncils.org. Global IQ is produced and distributed by the World Affairs Council of Dallas-Fort Worth. Thanks for listening.
Great. Well,
thank you so much.
Let's take a picture.
While we're...
Okay.
Are we looking at you or...